Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, I welcome you all to 2Q FY25 post-earnings conference call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. To discuss the result, we have the senior management team of the company represented by Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of the company, Mr. Rahul Sahai, CEO B2B Business, Mr. Aseem Srivastava, CEO B2C Business, and Mr. Sachin Kejriwal, CFO of the company. I'll hand over the call to Ms. Gauri Kirloskar for her opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you, Amit. Good evening, everyone. I am Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of Kirloskar Oil Engines. Thank you all for joining today's call. I'm joined by Rahul Sahai, our B2B CEO, Aseem Srivastava, our B2C CEO, Sachin Kejriwal, our CFO, and Amit Gupta, CFO of Arka. We also have two new people on our team: Farah Irani, who has joined as our Company Secretary, and Samrat Gupta, who has joined as MD of Arka. As usual, I'll start with business updates, followed by a financial overview from Sachin, and then we'll open the floor for a Q&A session. Q2 has been steady, marking the first quarter after the full transition from CPCB II to CPCB IV+. Standalone business net sales grew by 13% year-on-year. However, there was a quarter-on-quarter decline of 11%. Please note that the previous quarter, Q1 FY25, was influenced by pre-buy volumes. We saw strong demand, especially from the infrastructure and construction sectors. In the B2B segment, all businesses except international grew year-on-year. Domestic demand is strong, while on the international side, we are continuing with our journey of building capability, channel, and the right partners. B2C segment declined by 13% due to a planned plant transition. We have completed the construction of our new manufacturing facility at Sanand in Gujarat, and we have consolidated five of our manufacturing locations at Ahmedabad into this single unit. On the margin front, EBITDA stood at 165 crore rupees, reflecting a 14% margin, which is a 450 basis point increase compared to Q2 of the previous year. Net profit for KOEL standalone was 111 crore rupees, a 90% increase year-on-year. If we remove the effect of one-time provisions and reversals made from the provisions or reversals, sorry, made from the numbers, then the net profit for the quarter was 98 crore rupees versus 66 crore rupees in Q1 FY24, reflecting a 48% growth. Year-to-date sales for H1 FY25 stands at 2,518 crore rupees, showing a 9% growth year-on-year. EBITDA margins are at 14%, and net profit is 246 crore rupees, marking a 52% growth. Again, if we remove the effect of one-time provisions/reversals, net profit for H1 FY25 was at 215 crore rupees versus 175 crore rupees for H1 FY24. That is a 22% increase. Now, coming to business updates, as I mentioned, demand in the B2B segment remained strong. Standalone sales reached 1,059 crore rupees, reflecting a 17% year-on-year growth. In the power generation segment, the real test lies in market reactions to the new emission norms. This quarter, as predicted, saw slower demand as the market adjusts to the new pricing levels that come with the upgraded emission technology and correction due to the pre-buy sales that happened over the past couple of quarters. We're only one quarter in, so we'll be observing market trends over the next few quarters. We are confident our portfolio of products with leading emission and electronic technology incorporated will enable us to continue to be the dominant player in the markets we serve. The industrial segment grew approximately 8% year-on-year, driven by strong demand from our construction OEMs. Field trials for CEV BS5 engines are progressing well, and customer feedback has been positive. We continue to see strong growth in defense and marine and the railway segments as we continue to drive execution of key projects with customers. The distribution and aftermarket business recorded a 10% year-on-year growth. We are continuing to focus on enhancing our service channel and capabilities to enable stronger support for newer technology products. We are seeing increasing service penetration and expect this to continue as we closely monitor our distribution and service KPIs. The international business on the B2B side remains steady at 123 crore rupees versus 125 crore rupees as strategic realignments in international channels are establishing their teams and facilities to enable long-term sustainable presence in these markets. We are seeing strong growth for our industrial and firefighting products. However, we are seeing some challenges on the power gen side due to changing power scenarios in key markets like South Africa. We are advancing in our technology roadmap and alternate fuel tracks. Our methanol gensets were recently showcased at the Methanol International Conference 2024. This was a proud moment for the entire team as we contribute to the nation's decarbonization journey. In the B2C segment, standalone sales were 125 crore rupees, marking a 13% year-on-year decline. WMS sales dropped by 11% year-on-year, primarily from diesel segment due to softened demand from extended monsoons, the deferment of key institutional customer orders to Q3 FY25, and a production lag due to the plant transition in Q2 FY25. While B2C international business nearly doubled to 13 crore rupees compared to last year, primarily driven by growth in agri-engine exports to Africa and the Americas region. FMS sales remained muted at 14 crore rupees. Moving to the consolidated business updates, revenue from operations was 1,500 crore rupees, showing a 15% year-on-year growth. LGM inaugurated its new plant on September 12th. Five existing manufacturing units were consolidated into a single state-of-the-art facility at GIDC Sanand. We believe that cost efficiencies from economy of scale and sharper focus on other LGM operations will drive greater growth in the LGM business in the medium term. In financial services, ARCA's revenue grew 54% year-on-year to 195 crore rupees. As of September 30th, 2024, assets under management stood at 6,284 crore rupees. In summary, this concludes the quarterly update. We are now nearing the end of our 2X3Y journey, and I assure you that the team is working tirelessly to meet our performance milestones. This journey has been full of valuable lessons, and with our accumulated experience, we are now setting our sights on the long-term 2B2Billion vision I had mentioned in the last call. Thank you for your continued support and trust in the team. We're fully prepared for the journey ahead. With these key business updates, I now hand over the call to Sachin for a quick financial overview.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks, Corey, for the update. I will give a quick update of the financial performance for standalone and consolidated business. The results and the presentations for today's call has already been uploaded on the exchange and our website. QT top line registered a year-on-year growth of 13%. There was an 11% degrowth quarter-on-quarter. Also, please note this is now ninth quarter in a row that we have crossed 1,000 crores in revenue from operations. Coming to the financial performance, for the purpose of maintaining consistency with the last year's numbers presented in the analyst presentations, we would like to give you a fair picture of business as usual. At the same time, the SEBI results that you can see will reflect all the accounting provision reversals. Now I will start with the Q2 FY25 standalone performance first. So net sales at 1,184 crores for Q2 FY25 versus 1,047 crores for Q2 FY24, which is 13% year-on-year increase. EBITDA at 148 crores for Q2 FY25 versus 109 crores for Q2 FY24, which is 35% increase year-on-year. EBITDA margin at 12% for Q2 FY25 versus 10% for Q2 FY24. Net profit stood at 98 crore for Q2 FY25 versus 66 crore for Q2 FY24, which is 48% increase year on year. Cash and cash equivalents of 213 crores versus 112 crores of Q2 FY24. Please note the cash equivalent is net of debt, includes treasury investments, and excludes unclaimed dividends. Also, the above numbers are excluding recovery against the provisions we had made last year for a specific customer. If you look at the reported numbers including this recovery, EBITDA margin for the current quarter is 14%. Now, here is the further breakdown of the standalone sales for the quarter. The B2B sales were at 1,059 crores, that is 17% growth year on year. Within B2B, power gen was at 481 crores, which was 34% increase year on year. Industrial at 253 crores, that is 8% increase year on year. Distribution and aftermarket was at 202 crores, which is 10% increase year on year. And international business of B2B was at 123 crores, which is 2% decline year on year. The B2C sales were at 125 crore, registering 13% decline year on year. Within B2C, WMS was at 98 crore, that is 11% decline year on year. International business of B2C was 13 crore, that is 110% increase year on year. And FMS business at 14 crore witnessed a 49% decline year on year. The working capital as of quarter ended 30th September has seen an increase of 69 crore as we are gearing up for future demand in CPCB 4+ regime. However, we continue to have a healthy net cash position, which is in excess of 200 crores. Now, looking at the consolidated performance for the quarter, revenue from operation at 1500 crores for Q2 FY25 versus 1,305 crores for Q2 FY24, which is 15% increase year on year. Net profit at 106 crores for Q2 FY25 versus 86 crores for Q2 FY24, which is 23% increase year on year. Again, the numbers I discuss here are excluding the exceptional items and amount of recovery against the provision we had made last year for a specific customer. If we exclude the exceptional item and recovery, the reported net profit for the current quarter is 125 crores. Let us have a look at consolidated segment performance now. B2B segment revenue for the quarter was at 1,075 crores, which is 17% growth year on year. The segment EBIT was at 134 crores, reflecting approximately 77% increase year on year. B2C segment revenue for the quarter was at 230 crores, which is 12% degrowth year on year. The segment registered a loss before interest and tax of approximately 6 crores. Financial services segment revenue for the quarter is at 195 crores, reflecting 54% year on year growth. The segment PBT excluding exceptional income was at 31 crores, that is 22% increase year on year. In conclusion, we delivered a steady performance in Q2 despite significant changes in the B2B segment. Looking forward, we intend to closely monitor the B2B market, especially concerning emission norms, while maintaining our focus on the industrial market as we prepare for the upcoming BS5 engine upgrades. As we approach the final phase of our 2X3Y journey, we are cautiously navigating the new emission norms market with a strategic emphasis on key areas like high horsepower, genset market, and international business expansion. Now we will open the forum for Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have first question from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Congrats on a good set of numbers and thanks for taking my question. My first question is actually relating to, just wanted to understand that, of course, we are trying, you know, to go higher up the value chain in terms of the high horsepower segment. So just wanted to know in terms of the response from the OptiPrime series, how is it and how is the demand outlook tracking for the OptiPrime series?
Yeah, hi. So this is Rahul. So what we've seen is that there is a significant interest from a lot of our customers, and we have gained traction. So, for example, there are several high horsepower order board or orders that we do have at this point, and we will continue to push and work on the OptiPrime from a market communication standpoint, but the value proposition is very clear and we do see a very clear space for it.
Sure. And also just wanted to understand now with the upcoming BS5 norms in January 2025, how's the pre-buying coming along for the industrial segment, especially for the construction equipment vehicle segment? And also, I just wanted to know in terms of realization growth as compared to the previous emission norm, what kind of realization growth can we look at for those engines? And post that, will margins be in a similar range of 11 to 12% for us?
Right. So... So I wouldn't expect a very significant pre-buy because ultimately the engines go into equipment and we work very closely with our OEMs. And I wouldn't expect, see, because the margin profile may vary from node to node, but I wouldn't expect the margins to change drastically because we do have enough players and competitive forces in each node. So our margin profile will remain somewhat similar.
Okay, sure. Thanks for that. And then just wanted to understand from a long-termish perspective, also my finally just wanted to ask you that for Arka Fincap, you know, what is your strategy going ahead? I mean, of course, I see there is good growth coming in for Arka as well. But do we look at, you know, hiving it off into a separate entity going down the line, somewhere down the line?
Sorry, could you just repeat the last part of your question on somewhere down the line? I didn't catch that.
Yeah. What I meant is, ma'am, actually for Arka Fincap, just wanted to know that, I know we are seeing good growth coming there, but just wanted to know that from a long-term perspective, are we looking to hive it off into a separate entity and keep the genset entity, you know, separate? Just wanted to understand from a strategy perspective.
Yeah, sure. So, let me answer your question and then I can request if Samrat has anything to add, although he's just joined and has been in the job for about 10 days. So from our perspective as a parent of Arka, what I would say is that we will continuously monitor the granularity of the book, the spread of the risk, and the return on equity that we're getting from the business. But from the view of this being patient capital, there are many ways and means for the business to continue to also raise capital as the requirement is there as the book rolls. And this is something that we will help the business with. So, when you look at the path for the NBFC, there are certain stepping stones that it will have to take to get to a certain level in size. And then we can look at logical steps at that time. But, it's not something that I will be able to comment on in terms of hiving off or not.
Okay, thanks.
Anything you would want to add in terms of some of the maybe plans that we have in terms of the business?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, hi, good afternoon to you. I just wanted to say that I just want to supplement and complement what Gauri said, that, you know, as far as ARKA is concerned, it's growing at a nice pace. I just joined 10-15 days back, and you know, the reputation and integrity of the promoters are impeccable, and we have a very good team from a risk management and credit assessment perspective. Now, I am sure that, you know, a group like Kirloskar, they believe in patient capital, and they believe in investing in industry and organizations which survive the test of time beyond 5 years, 10 years, or perhaps much more than that, given the background of COEL. My mandate is to ensure that, you know, I take advantage of the amazing team that we have and look at, you know, current things which we need to perhaps get as far as direction is concerned, more towards building granularity of the book, diversification of the book, and also looking at a digital distribution system which is aided by technology and which is also aided by, you know, a strong branch infrastructure and collection infrastructure that helps to spread the risk. And I'm sure, you know, there has to be, you know, threshold rate of returns which, you know, we need to deliver to ensure the continuity of support from COEL. At the same time, you know, the ecosystem of COEL is very large. The Kirloskar Group is very large. As I try to understand the group, because it's more than 83 years COEL exists, there are more than, you know, 4,000 points of presence where, you know, such distribution that is complementary for ARKA, and we can build it around that. Our objective is to build, you know, a small ticket secured retail book, because currently we have a large emphasis on the wholesale book. And while we do all of that, we also have to ensure responsibly we build our customer experiences for convenience and value, so that, you know, the brand India and what Kirloskar stands for India, we can also deliver as ARKA over a period of time. We are working on, you know, a business plan. We are working on all of that. That will take us a little time, but we will do that responsibly, without any exuberance, without any usuriousness, only to keep in mind that how we develop India into that kind of an entrepreneurial culture, and that supports entire building of the nation. And that's what Kirloskar stands for. And once we have that, I'm sure, you know, we will get it signed up by our parent company and see for you know, and see to that we have a long-term and even a short-term execution to that. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for that. And just one last question, if I may squeeze in. For this Optiprime series, of course, we were in the process of, you know, we are catering to the data centers and that segment. Have we acquired the necessary certification from CPCB and ARI? Is that done, or is that process still continuing?
That's done, and we are executing our orders in data centers already.
Okay, sure. Thanks. Those were all my questions.
Thank you very much. We have next question from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I largely wanted to understand the power gen side. I think this quarter, the power gen revenue is 34-35% growth. Now, if I consider the realization, which has moved, it is also in the similar range of 30%. So, I mean, does it mean that the volume growth during the quarter was muted, and, you know, some color on that would be really helpful? The second question was on the pricing front. I mean, there is roughly, I think, now close to 1 year that the CPCB 4 engines are there in the place. So, how is the pricing panning out for us for CPCB 4 engine? I mean, let's say over the last 6 months, is it holding up, or are we giving some discounts over there? I just wanted to understand that.
Sure. So this is Rahul. See, if you look at the last two quarters, there was a lot of transition happening. Last quarter was the first quarter where we formally moved into the CPCB 4 era. Now, if you look at the quarter, the power gen volumes overall for the industry dipped by almost 12-15%. And out of that, we've been strong in our market share. So I haven't seen any significant dips. So as far as that is concerned, we've strengthened our position in certain nodes. For example, if you look at our high horsepower nodes, We've strengthened some of, like for example, look at 750 kVA or 1000 kVA. We've strengthened our positions there. So overall, if you look at the market overall declined in volumes, and we saw that impact as well. We don't have significant volumes in 2000 kVA and upwards. So of course, we have our OptiPrime, and that's the path that we are now taking. But overall, we've been fairly strong. And if you look at CPCB4 pricing, at least as of now, we see the pricing hold, but the market is constantly evolving, and we are watchful of that.
Sure. In terms of data filter, you know, is this 300 kVA which is provided, I mean, it becomes a product at that particular space? And if you can provide some color over here as to what could be the revenue for data center in 1HF25, that will be helpful.
So it's a lot of different products. 1500, we have our 1010, and we also have a 1000 kV OptiPrime. So we are seeing traction slowly. And what we don't really track or report data center segment separately, so I won't be able to give that number. But we are seeing more traction than what we've done before.
Sure. And just my last question was on the Kirloskar Brothers and the pumps litigation matter, which was there. So can you just provide some color over your listening? Where is the matter standing exactly?
So the legal matters are all sub judice, so I won't be able to comment on that on the Kirloskar Oil Engines earning call.
Sure, yeah, that's the conversation.
Thank you very much. We have next question from Palak from MIV Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question is that first, are we still confident of achieving our standalone revenue guidance? And considering the scenario of power gen segment, secondly, if yes, we are confident, then what are the levers or the factors which is giving us the confidence?
And Rahul may supplement what I say, but first I want to state that, you know, our aspiration, it's an aspirational target, and that's what it always was. And if you look at the historical growth before we set this target, compared to the growth that the company has achieved in the last 2 years, I think that is, you know, what we were trying to change in terms of the momentum, in terms of the opportunity that we have in front of us. So that's just my comment on the last 2 years. Of course, now we have 2 quarters to go. The target is certainly something that we're still gunning for, and we will continue to gun for and strive to achieve. All of our teams are excited about the target. It has excited them thus far, and I think that it's certainly within reach. So, you know, that's where I will leave it. And if Rahul has anything to add, Rahul, please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely, I'm completely aligned. It was an ambition that we stated, and we are going after that ambition. And we've seen significant growth and success over the last, 2.5-3 years. And we continue to aspire for that ambition.
And second is, do we anticipate any changes in H2 in power gen segment? What is the volume growth that you are expecting? And in terms of pricing, will we able to maintain the pricing since the other competitors are also catching up with the technology, and similar case in terms of margin?
So we are watching over how the market evolves, because it might be premature to comment on some of those points right now. But we're keeping a close eye, and because as more and more players enter the CPCB4 market, it would be interesting to see how the market dynamics evolve over a period of time. But we can't comment on more than that at this point.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have next question from Tina Virmani from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Congrats for a decent set of numbers. My question is related to the competitive intensity in key nodes of power gen for COEL. So just wanted to understand, are smaller players or even the bigger players trying to get into the market share of COEL during, have you seen any such kind of thing happening in Q1 of Q1 and even in in Q2 of FY25? Because some of the players have priced their product in such a way that it is much lower than the market rate. So just wanted to understand and take your views on the same.
Sure. So hi Tina, this is Rahul. If you look at the last quarter, what you will see is that, or at least what we've seen is that it's more of the established players where node by node there are certain variations. We haven't really seen a lot of quote-unquote small players come in, because there is a lot of investment in technology as far as emissions are concerned in the CPCB 4+ era. So we haven't seen too many of smaller players come in, but there are node-wise market movements within the power gen space, and it is generally by people who are well-established. I haven't seen any smaller player come and take market share in CPCB 4.
So in terms of the ranges, let's say the low KVA nodes or maybe the mid KVA nodes up to 400, 500 KVA, have you seen competition from players like Ashok Leyland or Greaves Cotton or maybe Mahindra Powerol?
Oh yeah, I mean, you would have, but I would call them fairly well established.
Right. I mean, relatively smaller as compared to COEL.
Yeah, for sure. I understand what you're saying. So, yeah, we have seen competition come in. And so, for example, Mahindra has been a long-standing player, especially on the lower end of the market. They've always been strong with their presence in telecom. So, we've seen some of that happen. But at this point, it would be wise to look at one or two more quarters and then be able to come to any conclusion.
Okay, so in terms of demand side, do you see that demand in the month of October and so far in the month of November, has demand remained strong despite these price hikes?
So what we've seen in the last quarter is that the demand fell, overall industry demand fell by almost 12 to 15%. And what we expect that to bounce back though. So as we look at the next few quarters, we do see demand picking up again. The last quarter was the first quarter of this transition, and I think we should see more the order board building up and the demand picking up as we move into this quarter. So we are quite optimistic about that.
Okay. My last question is on exports, sir. How do you see the second half panning out in terms of growth for the exports?
Yeah, so second half, we are expecting that to be better than what we did in the first half. Some of the challenges that we've seen in the on the international business, South Africa was an important market for us as far as power generation is concerned. And because of the power situation improving drastically in South Africa, we're seeing a lower offtake there. And as a result, what you're seeing is our power gen business internationally has seen a hit, but on the industrial side, we've still been pretty strong. So if you look at our international business in H1, our volumes grew by, or last quarter, our volumes have grown substantially. As we look at the next, or H2, we're expecting that to be better than H1 as far as revenues are concerned.
Okay, so any traction which is expected for CPCB 4+ products for exports in the near term, maybe in the next 1-2 quarters, or it is still some time away for CPCB 4+ to get accepted in the international markets?
So each region has its own emission standard. So while the product may not exactly be a CPCB 4 product, but you're right, each region has its own emissions and the technology would and the platforms would remain similar. So what we're seeing is that most of the markets where we currently do international business in, they don't have a very high level of emissionization at this moment. So if you look at, say, Middle East, or if you look at some of the African countries, so CPCB4 or having this technology of being able to get down to this level of emissions, that definitely helps us. But if we have to target more advanced markets, then we will have to have our products ready with those certifications. And for instance, what we are doing on, for example, in the US, we have EPA, we have a few nodes that are EPA certified, and we are looking to grow that business. So we'll follow that strategy.
Got it, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in queue for more questions.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. We have a question from Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rahul. I mean, taking forward to this, our genset size, for international data center, there is a huge opportunity. So what exactly are we doing on that front? Or are we working, and when do we likely to see that kind of a certification which you are talking, replied to previous participant?
Right. Hi, sir. How are you? International data centers are something that we're definitely focusing on. It is a slightly longer drawn process because the process involves multiple, you know, was consultant engagement, and there are already fairly well entrenched competition there. Having said that, our first focus is the domestic market because that's closer home and we see a significant opportunity there. So before we go international on the data center side, we are focusing on the domestic market as far as data centers are concerned, and we do see a strong opportunity to do that. In parallel, we are building out our distribution globally, and in case there are data center opportunities, we are absolutely going all out to execute that.
And my second question is that if we look at, I mean, India, a lot of, I mean, players, international, so looking at India as a global hub for sourcing diesel engine. So in that play, how do we like to play? Because once they start sourcing it from, they become also more competitive. So what is our game plan, I mean, for this, as well as can we emerge as a, one of the engine suppliers?
So you're right. A lot of global companies are sourcing very heavily from India. The advantage that we have is that our entrenchment with our suppliers is very strong. In fact, I mean, even today, in spite of moving to the level of emissions that we have, our imported content remains between 12% to about 12%. So our imported content is very low. So our level of indigenization as far as our platforms are concerned is extremely high. So even if there is competition, building competence for sourcing from India, that's absolutely fine. We don't see that as a cause of concern. We have had people who've reached out to us for things like resourcing or sourcing some of their platforms from us, and we're engaged at different in different conversations there. But there's nothing significant to report at this point.
So when do we expect that we'll be, I mean, getting some kind of maybe down the line 3 years, Kirloskar emerge as a large engine supplier?
Would you say, when you say large engines, you mean like high horsepower?
Yeah, high horsepower for international market.
Okay. So what we are already doing, see, we're already shipping out our K4300 platform, which is a 1500 kVA. We've commenced shipping that even to international markets. Our 2000 kVA, one of the first few orders, got executed in Dubai. So some of that high horsepower work for international markets has already begun. What we are doing is we're focusing first on the domestic market with these products. And we are seeing demand globally as well. I mean, so that we are constantly evaluating, and we are taking a call on you know, which products to ship where, because along with the sale, there is a requirement of establishing an appropriate service infrastructure as well.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a question from the line of Manish Goyal from Thinqwise Wealth Managers. Go ahead, please.
Yep. Thank you so much. I have a question on our B2C business where we have like consolidated LGM 5 plants into a single location. So maybe if you can just provide some perspective, like what is the capex we have done and are there any more capex lined up? And in terms of benefits, what benefits can we see in near term to medium term, both on the revenue growth front as well as margin improvement front? That's the first question. And my second question is also pertaining to power gen exports, like for developed markets. We have been seeding our higher range, especially in the US with the subsidiary and recent acquisition of a front-end distribution. So like, where are we in terms of getting the certification and what nodes we are looking and when do we really expect the volumes to kick? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. So, Aseem, are you there? Will you be able to take the first question?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. You can hear me, no?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so thanks for that question. So, if you see, we have done a capex of 140 crores for the new facility in Sanand. Now, this facility is state of the art and with 30% extra capacity than the 5 small plants that we had earlier. In terms of synergy, we believe that we'll be able to actually save cost, also improve delivery time. And for international business, this facility will be a boon for us because many OEMs and also customers from Europe and also from Middle East, when they visit this big facility, we feel they will be able to approve the facility for new orders.
So, like, if you can just, like, would they be able to, like, quantify in terms of what is the margin improvement? Because we probably, no doubt, this quarter, we last Q1, we saw a decent improvement in the margins of B2C business. And this quarter, again, it's probably negative. But, like, like in what time frame can we see sustainable double digit margins? Because the competition has double digit margins in this business. So, yeah.
Yeah. So if you see in Q1, we actually had in LGM at least, we had close to double digit market. Even in the WMS pump business, we had double digit market margins. Now, this Q2 results has come down because of this plant transition. So as we were shifting man material and also the assets to the new plant, we had some challenges and there was less production, which led to some sales loss. And that's the reason the results are what they are. We have still, you know, ramping up production where there was some delay. Now in November, we are at around 60% of the mean capacity, and by December this will stabilize. So our aspiration is to go to double digit EBITDA for B2C business, and we are confident that we will be there very soon.
Yeah, I think there was a second half of that question on our power gen exports. So if you're talking about, you spoke about our high horsepower strategy for the US. So at this point, we are actually evaluating that. So we are on the drawing board there, that which are the right platforms to take to the American market. At this point, I won't be able to give out more than that. But we are looking at high horsepower in the US. We are evaluating our options at this point.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We have next question from Hardik, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I would like to extend my congratulations to Mr. Vimal Bhandari for impressive growth of loan book to 6,000 crores with commendable GNP of under 0.5%. As Mr. Gupta steps in as new MD, having led Tata Motor Finance with a book size of 31,000 crores and facing high single-digit GNPAs, could you please share how his previous experience will influence the strategic decision of ARCA, especially now as the industry is seeing challenges in unsecured credit as well as MFI segment? Insights into maintaining our asset quality would be helpful.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Harit. I wanted to tell you that I've just joined, and this is not a captive outfit at all. And it is indeed great. Vimal has built a great book, which is largely predicated upon loan against property and wholesale debt. And the asset quality is amazing. The issue is like this, that, we are an NBFC, and our ratings and our cost of borrowing are much inferior compared to banks. And in wholesale debt, the spreads are not that high, or even loan against property, the spreads are not that high. Given that we don't have any captive focus, my objective is to build granularity of the retail book, and that too in secured businesses like, places which are relating to small ticket loan against property, places which are fully secured. That is my objective. As far as Tata Motor Finance is concerned, the book, which was not dependent on any captive business, that book had, a GNPA of much less than 3%, a ROA of much higher than 4.5%, and that we built over a period of 7 years to about 15,000-17,000 crores, and which was fully retail on the basis of distribution and collection and analytics and technology. I hope to work hard with the existing team, where we balance the wholesale book, we balance the retail growth and the investments, and ensure that the right kind of ROA metrics is followed out here. Given that there is no captive business and there is no demand creation, rather it's a value creation for the capital that has been invested from COEL. I'm quite confident that with the existing team and the experience which we had had to build a secured retail book generating northwards of threshold ROAs is what the journey would be. It's early days, and I'm learning from everybody, and I'm sure I'll learn from you to see how to make this company very successful on the basis of the metrics which makes all the stakeholders happy and also their expectations are met. Thank you.
Thanks, and all the best, sir.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of number. So may I just a couple of questions on power gen business. May I ask how has been the volume growth for the first half for the company, and if you also have a similar number for the industry? This is for the first half. Okay.
So if you look at our volume growth in H1, our volume growth has been about, I would say, about 12 to 14% in terms of pure volumes. And I won't be able to comment specifically on power gen, but I can speak overall. And what are the other part of your question?
So this 12 to 14 is overall company level volume, or it's very specific to power gen segment?
No. So we don't give to that information is internal. I can't comment on the specific power gen numbers, but I can speak overall.
Right. And this 10 to 15% decline, that was very specific to the Q2 quarter, right? And that was industry volume.
Industry volume.
Okay. And just that was largely due to, what do you attribute this decline? Is it something which is generally the extended monsoon, the government capex being low, or it's a lot to do with the inventory in the channel?
So I think that there are two forces there. One is if you look at overall economic activity in the last quarter, that has also declined. So if you look at the GST collection, there is a dip there. The second is it was the first quarter of 100% CPCB4. And with the CPCB4 significant scope enhancement and corresponding price increase, a lot of key orders or a lot of procurement decisions were delayed because even the large corporate customers are waiting for in case there's any change in pricing. So it was a combination of two things.
That's true. Is there a related question? Would you say the channel inventory for the industry as well as for the company, how do you see it versus normalized levels for the power gen business?
So, see, unlike the automotive market where channel inventories are at an all-time high and there's a significant, there's an overall glut as far as the demand is concerned, we are not seeing as much of that. So we are adequately stocked in the channel, and beyond a particular point, we actually don't want our GOEM working capitals to be impacted. So we are not seeing anything drastically different from what we were expecting.
Understood. It's the last one, if I may. How much of the power gen demand for the company actually comes from the residential real estate end market?
So we don't give out a specific number, but if you look at residential or real estate developers, that's a big part of our business, especially in power generation, and that's a segment of importance as well.
And so there, are you seeing incremental inquiries with a lot of this real estate market doing well generally? Are you seeing that inquiry levels in that end market quite strong for you?
We're seeing an uptick. What is exciting or interesting is we're seeing a lot of inquiry levels upwards of 1500 kVA in that market.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for answering my question and all the very best.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Manish Goyal from Thinkwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. A couple of questions. One on the balance sheet. We see a very high level of capital work in progress of 225 odd crores and as well as nearly 40-50 crores of intangible work in progress. So what is it pertaining to? What is this capex meant for? And my second question is on the industrial business on the domestic. What we probably see is this quarter YOY the growth is low. Basically, it's a single digit growth, and sequentially it has declined by 21% from 320 to 253. Just want to know what could be the reason where the growth rates have been tapering off, and how do we see it going forward, and what kind of pre-buying can we see in the quarter three? Just want to clarify here that the BS5 norms will be implemented from 1st Jan 2025, and are we restricted to the dealers are restricted to sell after 1st June, or how is it the norm the way we saw for CPCP4? And my third question is on the share of high horsepower revenues in power gen, and what do we categorize as a high horsepower, from what nodes we categorize? Thank you.
I would request if you can ask one question at a time, because it gets very complicated to answer. Can you ask first question and then I'll respond once at a time?
My first question was high capital work in progress of nearly 225 odd crores in balance sheet, and in additionally, intangibles also work in progress of, I believe, 40-45 crores. So what is it pertaining to where such large capex are still outstanding and we are not capitalized?
Yeah, so these are the CapEx which are in progress, and these are very much essential for the growth of the company. And this CapEx are in the nature of sustenance CapEx and the new product development. And this will get capitalized as soon as the projects mature.
No, but like what is it pertaining to? Like, is it for capacity expansion or what?
Yeah, it's for the capacity expansion and the new product development. So as you aware that BS5 will be coming up from 1st of January, so some capex are pertaining to that and few are pertaining to the capacity enhancement.
Okay. My second question was on the industrial revenue. It saw a single-digit growth in YOY and it declined 21% sequentially. So if you can throw perspective, why the growth rate seems to have tapered off and how do we see it going forward?
The industrial business has not declined YOY.
No, I'm saying it just saw single-digit growth, where we have been seeing in recent past very strong growth. And if you probably look at Q1 numbers, it was 320 crores revenue, and this quarter it is just 253 crores revenue. So how much is it probably, because I believe tractors have improved sequentially, and you did comment that construction industry sales to infra and constructions are doing well. So I presume industrial engines play a fairly strong role over there. So just wanted to clarify.
So if you look at Q1, the industrial business is a function of the demand that we, or the forecast that we get from our OEMs. So if I look at the industrial business overall, we are actually on track and it is progressing as per our plan. There isn't significant issue there. If I look at versus H1 of last year, there is significant growth that we have seen. So if you compare H1 of this year versus last year, there is significant growth of 23%. So the quarter-on-quarter movement will keep happening, and that is not something that we are extremely worried about.
And how do you see the pre-buying in quarter three? And if you can clarify that, the dealer sell after Q1?
So if you look at CV BS5, I mean, that's the transition that we're talking about, we actually sell the engines to our OEMs. So which is why we wouldn't expect the pre-buy to be as high as the way it works in power generation, because the OEMs are also limited by the amount of stocking they can do of the overall equipment. So there will be pre-buy. It won't be as significant as what we experience on the power generation side.
Right. And last question was on the share of HHP revenues in power gen and what node we ideally qualify as HHP.
So internally, we say anything which is greater than 750 kVA. Is HHP. So that's our internal definition. Now, if you look at historically, so maybe 3 years ago, this was in, less than 4% of the entire portfolio was HHP. That percentage number would be over 15-20% by now.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Saurav Arya from Oakland Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Okay. Am I audible?
Yes,
hello. Sir. We can hear you.
Yeah, hi. Gauri and team. Congrats on decent numbers. The first question I have is on, again, B2C side. There, obviously, in last few quarters, it improved towards, from 1-2% margin to 8% margin. And I know there are obviously this plant-related, stuff which impacted this margin. But what does it mean? It's again a reset to negative and then there will be gradual journey towards 8-10%, or we expect this was kind of a, one-off issue and things would be back to 8-10% very quickly in the next few months.
Yeah, thanks. So Aseem here.
See, last time when the margins were low, there were a lot of basic issues that all got sorted out and it took a lot of time. But this time the issues are basically related to less production. We couldn't produce and that's the reason we couldn't sell. Now, as we have started producing in the new facility where we faced problems in terms of ramp up, we are confident that we will be able to come back to our normal margins by Q4.
By Q4. Okay, that's helpful. Second is, so at standalone company level, there is a reasonable improvement in, you know, gross profit margins of the company. Can you explain, maybe, you know, Rahul or Sachin, they can explain that why this improvement is there and is it sustainable?
This is Rahul. See, if you look at our, if you look at standalone business, it's largely driven by the B2B business. And if you look at our overall improvement on the EBITDA, which is driven largely by our focus on our aftermarket, our HHP growth, as well as our continuous endeavor to drive exports, the three key levers continue to positively impact our margins, and which is why at a standalone level you see that improvement.
So this gross profit margin will sustain, like this, this is moved towards 36%.
So we will continue to strive for improvement. I don't think I can comment on beyond that.
Sure. And maybe very lastly on the export side, so at the start of the year, we had, I mean to say, pretty strong expectations for the export business. While from Q1 to Q2, it has decelerated. Obviously, you commented that, you know, in H2 things will be better. But still at a full year level, what should be the expectations from, you know, exports? And I understand this, you know, South Africa issue, maybe South Africa, you know, power situation improving, you know, is there, but that would actually continue even going ahead from here on. So maybe that would not be a one-off issue. That is something which is here to stay.
So you're correct. And there are multiple cycles that we are exposed to. So as we become more global, more and more of such situations will happen. So South Africa was an important market for us and we saw, we're seeing this drastic decline in demand. But we also have other plans. So we have our GOEM that we've appointed in the Middle East. There is work that we are doing in the back end to ramp that capability up. So overall, in the international business is not where we wanted it to be. We expected more. But having said that, we continue to be optimistic. So because there is a lot of work that we've done in the back end.
Why I'm actually a little bit, maybe I would want to ask more is because H2 of last year was very, very strong on export. So would it be, you know, I mean, it's fair to expect growth on those numbers or it would be very challenging? So H1 versus H2 might look good this year, but on a yearly basis, actually that might be still not good enough to give any growth.
We are very committed to growing beyond last year.
Perfect. Yeah, that is very helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for joining the call today and for all of your questions. And thank you very much for your support to the team. See you next time.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.